Hello and welcome to the Where People Meet podcast, the event technology podcast for the worldwide meetings and events industry. I'm your host, Mitch Malinsky, head of sales here at Feedloop in pretty snowy Toronto. And today I'm joined by the wonderful Carly Silverstein, CEO of Redstone Agency, Canada's fastest growing event and association management company. Now, I'm really excited for the conversation today. Carly brings a wealth of experience alongside a variety of perspectives to the table today. Following her schooling at Western University in London, Canada, Carly jumped headfirst into the events industry, lending her skills to a variety of firms before deciding to take the reins herself and founding Redstone Agency with her business partner, Bailey Roth, back in 2015. Having worked alongside Carly over the past 4 years, I can personally attest to the fact that Carly is one of the most authentic and hardworking people you will come across. A scrappy entrepreneur at heart who has leveraged her resourcefulness as an event planner and her natural instincts as a team leader to deliver the best results possible for her clients, I'm thrilled that Carly has taken the time out of her busy schedule to join us on the podcast. Now, Carly, thank you so much for joining us today. Where are you calling in from?
I am calling in from snowy Toronto, just like you.
Awesome. Well, I'm really excited for this conversation, as I'm sure you can tell. Would be great if we can start off with you telling the audience a bit about yourself and your background in the events industry.
Well, Mitch, you did such a good job. I don't know what left to say in the next 30 minutes, but thank you so much for that warm introduction and the opportunity to speak with you on the podcast today.
Of course.
I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to be here and excited for our conversation about myself. Well, Mitch pretty well covered it. I, like many of you in the industry, I'm an accidental event planner. I was doing a postgrad at Western in business marketing, kind of general. I did 4 years at Western and still didn't know what I wanted to do. So I thought marketing was applicable to everything. And then simultaneously got a job at a boutique event planning firm and immediately fell in love with the detailed nature of everything. You know, what some of us would call tedious tasks, stuffing and alphabetizing name badges. But it was equally detail oriented, but also had some flexibility for creativity and that strategy piece that I think is so important. And so I fell in love and never looked back and have been in various roles in the marketing and event space since then.
Amazing. And I really want to drill down into Redstone just because it's such an incredible success story. So this was back in 2015. You and your business partner, Bailey Roth, founded the company. As we all know, over the years, it's grown into becoming one of Canada's top rated, fastest growing event and association management companies. So can you tell the audience how you got the idea for founding Redstone Agency and what those first steps were like?
Sure. So for me, I come from a family. We have a 3-generation family business in my family. And so for me, it wasn't if I was going to become an entrepreneur. I knew it was always going to happen. I didn't necessarily know when entrepreneur of what, but I was always surrounded by hard work, good work ethic, passion, and kind of building something from the ground up. Coincidentally, the year that we started Redstone, I was also simultaneously planning my wedding. So I married an entrepreneur who's now my husband. So I've kind of been in a environment of entrepreneurs with all of that exposure. I met Bailey later in life, which some will find funny because her dad and my uncle are childhood friends. We both went to the same university, but it wasn't until we graduated that we crossed paths and worked together. So anyone that knows us knows that she's the yin to my yang, and I would like to say that I'm the same to her. But we couldn't be more opposite in the most complementary of ways. And based on our experience working at other firms, other agencies, in a variety of roles, and her working in-house at a not-for-profit and being exposed to so much waste, we kind of put our heads together and thought we could do this differently, better. And in 2015, we decided to kind of take the plunge, and we have never looked back.
That's incredible.
I think second part of that question was, what were the first few, like, what was the startup journey like?
Yeah.
It was exhilarating. It was equal parts scary and fun, and I wanted to say rewarding. I don't know that we actually saw the reward until a few years in, but it was certainly exciting.
Yep.
It was a lot of hard work. And any entrepreneur will tell you it doesn't come easy, but it was a passion project that's turned into what you know of Redstone today. And it was a lot of, you know, slapping spaghetti at the wall and seeing what would stick and kind of getting our groove. And here we are.
Yeah, it's been quite the journey for me. I've had the privilege of sitting backseat and watching part of it unfurl. And again, just kudos to you and Bailey. Congratulations. I know there's still a lot that you have planned in store, but it's definitely, you should take the time to look back and just congratulate yourself for what you've built so far, because it's very inspiring. Yeah.
Thank you.
But what I would like to glean out of this is every entrepreneur has failures. Every entrepreneur has lessons. So what are the most impactful lessons that you've learned as an entrepreneur founding Redstone? And how do you then apply these lessons to your day-to-day business practices when you're serving clients on the event and association management side?
Yeah, great question. And I think every entrepreneur will probably have a laundry list of things that they've learned, in failure, in success. But I think I want to highlight two. One is, regardless of what industry you're in, whether you're a CEO or any other role, I think it's fair to say that we're all in the people industry. We're in a service-based industry. There's no tangible product. You're in SaaS. You know, even if you're in manufacturing, I really think it all comes down to people. So, you know, we all need to be kind and respectful and really operate from a human-centric position.
Yeah.
And Redstone, it's one of our, we have four core values, and one of them is people. And this really guides us in every decision that we make. And, you know, without people, it kind of makes the world go round, right? So it's one of our core four values, and it has served us very well till this day. And I think it's in large part why we have such an incredible culture. But as a CEO, as a leader, as a person, I really think that people first is a lesson in negotiating, in failure, in understanding that there's always another person behind the screen or across that board table. And I think that it goes a long way to just, you know, be respectful and really focus on kind of that humanistic aspect.
Absolutely.
The next thing, again, there's a laundry list, and I had to really think about this question. But I think from a really young age, my dad, who currently runs, he's the third generation kind of at the reins of our three generation family business. And so from a really young age, he taught me that your word is everything. If you don't have your word, you kind of have nothing. And I think the lesson there is, say what you're going to do, do what you're going to say, follow through. And it's really what your reputation is built on. So I, you know, guide myself and conduct myself with this in the back of my mind every day, with my own team, with prospects, with our clients. I think that just, you know, your word,
absolutely.
It means something.
It absolutely does. Yeah, those are some really great lessons. We'll be sure to write those down, bold them in the write-up so that everyone can easily take those away. But thank you for sharing those lessons. I realized, Carly, we've been talking a lot about Redstone Agency, but there may be some people in the audience who actually don't know what your company is and the services that you provide. So can you give us a brief background on what Redstone does, the type of clientele that you appeal to?
Absolutely. So we're a full service agency. We offer a variety of services, but I would say that we're best known for our corporate event management services and association management. I think it's fair to say that event management is well understood.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, association management sometimes is not a business model that some are familiar with. So I can tell you a little bit more about that. Essentially, we are... we're a for-profit company that supports associations with their day-to-day operations, special projects, really anything that they require to advance, you know, their membership value and their long-term goals.
Yeah.
So, you know, that could be anything from, you know, board of director services, helping with board meeting prep, membership, annual general meeting, the day-to-day bookkeeping and financial aspect of the organization. Really, it runs the gamut, and we custom tailor our services to the unique needs of every client that we work with.
Okay. And like, what is the value of an association management company? The reason I'm asking that is I'm a salesperson. Associations are one of my target audiences. So I'm constantly reaching out to associations, trying to sell them on Feedloop. And every time I go on the website, I see a long list of staff. So if an association already has a team of staff to manage their organization, why would they look to an AMC for further services?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we have some clients where they outsource the day-to-day operations to us and there is not an existing staff. They're predominantly volunteer run. And then there's others where we have a full or a part-time executive director, a program coordinator, and various other roles that you might see.
Yep.
The reason that they would want to outsource to an agency like ours is, one, they might not have the resources or capacity to hire, whether, you know, it's a full-time equivalent or, you know, if they need a variety of different roles. It might come down to that specialization that they might need. So it could be for budgetary restraints. It could be because of, I like to call it the superhuman. With an agency model, you could be getting a full-time equivalent. So, you know, like someone who would work, whatever that is, 2,000 hours in a year.
Yeah.
But with us, we can kind of build you the superhuman, a little piece of an event planner, a little bit of a marketing expert, a little bit of an executive director, or somebody else who really understands the association world. And a little bit of finance to come together to build you this superhuman that can help service you in a more cost-effective and potentially productive manner. So it really comes down, like I said, we custom tailor our services to the unique needs of every client because every organization is looking to do something different with our help. Right. But there are just some reasons there why, you know, a full, robust, staff team might look for some added support from an AMC like ours.
And like, what are some of those common reasons that companies will come to you? Like, what's the value that you're delivering a lot of times to these clients?
Yeah, so, you know, they can get more bang for their buck. So they don't have to go and deal with the headache of actually hiring. So payroll and taxes and benefits and all of that, but they can still get the fun stuff, the administration as well. But they can get the services or the work product of what that, what that staff person could do. They also could just be looking for more, you know, a jack or Jill of all trades. You know, you hire somebody in a particular role, but you really just only need a little bit of that and a little bit of this. But, you know, we're not all good at absolutely everything. So it's, again, that superhuman where you get more versatile or variety of skill set and expertise, for the same amount. Instead of hiring four people, you just get one superhuman at an agency. And the other reason is expertise that might not exist or be accessible to them with the current makeup of their team or volunteers. I'll go back to the pandemic just very briefly. You know, during that time, there were some associations that had in-house staff, as you mentioned, Mitch, but they didn't have virtual event expertise. And so, you know, they needed to ramp up very quickly because June was fast approaching, their annual general meeting was coming up, and they needed to deliver that meeting, if nothing else, to their members. And so they looked at our agency in many cases to help support their internal team, just to being able to select the platform, build out the platform, run the meeting with finesse and ease, and make it look like it was a well-oiled machine. But, you know, they didn't have to ramp up and spend time and money hiring. They could just outsource to us. So that would be some of the expertise that, you know, people would outsource to us for.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. Tapping into that niche skill set and doing it in a really efficient yet effective way. I understand that. Now, one thing I hear a lot in the association industry is the question of how do we generate more revenue for our association? And a lot of the time, the biggest lever that you can pull is expanding your membership. A larger membership means more membership dues that you're collecting. It means more eyeballs and recognition provided to your sponsors and partners of the association. So for your association clients who come to you that are looking to expand their membership and thereby increase their revenue, what are some of the first strategies that you look to?
Well, this is a loaded question, and it's one that we're passionate about because we help our clients with this a lot.
Yep.
So what we're talking about is membership dues. So that's called dues revenue. And then there's a whole other stream of non-dues revenue. So we kind of look at those two things, you know, obviously together, but separately.
Okay.
So, you know, on the membership side, I think it's really reflecting on one, market saturation or, you know, market potential. So depending on the industry, maybe they only have 5% of the eligible or attract, you know, the membership base that they're trying to attract. So we kind of look, take a macro view and see like, what is the market potential in your industry and where are you at? You have 50%, where are the other 50%? Then we do a competitive analysis. Are you like the authority in your industry, or are there other competing or similar type of organizations, and what are they doing? And then looking internal and seeing what is your member value prop. When's the last time it was revised? When's the last time you did a membership survey? When's the last time you increased, decreased, changed membership dues at all? So it's kind of like a macro view, and then moving in to look internally to see what is and is not working. And then, like I mentioned, there's the non-due side where there's a lot of unique opportunities, especially today with, you know, the added adoption of virtual, whether it's, you know, meetings or, you know, special interest groups or community building. I think that there's just more momentum now by leveraging technology to infuse the organization with value outside of just their annual general meeting or their once a year conference.
Right. So you would say that the world of events and event planning is one of those streams that goes into the non-member, non-dues.
Absolutely. Well, as you know, a conference, you know, there's a lot of expenses there, but it's a great opportunity for people to, you know, connect and learn from one another in person and or online. So that reach definitely expanded. But yeah, outside of membership dues, the conference, in our experience, is likely the next leading revenue stream.
Okay. So let's drill down into this. This is, of course, a podcast for events. Where do events fit into an association's overall strategy?
Yeah, great question and a good segue. So as I mentioned, in many cases, it's the next largest revenue source for an association outside of membership dues. And of course, there are other ones like publications and certifications and other things. But, you know, generally speaking, it is the conference. And I think that this ties back to why Redstone is both an event agency and association, because at minimum, every association is required by their bylaws to conduct an annual general meeting of members. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, historically, we've always seen the conference and trade show or whatever that format is happening a minimum of once a year, bringing their members together to, again, network, do business, educate, whatever your objectives are. So I think that the strategy is to build an experience around this. But I think more recently, what we're seeing is that the event strategy is becoming more than just this one touch point a year. It's not enough for people, or people are not really interested or willing to necessarily travel or have the budget to do so. So they're really looking to have more touch points, maybe not a 4-day, like multi-day conference in, you know, Central Canada, East, West, which is a rotation we see for national organizations quite frequently. But now they want to do, you know, a smaller regional meeting monthly. So people in, you know, whether it's a special interest group or regionally segmented, but we're seeing that the events are really changing, I think, for the better, and becoming more of a focal point for associations in terms of driving value, revenue, and just, you know, connection from sponsors and all stakeholders across the organization.
Right. So it doesn't have to necessarily be this big beast of an annual conference. We're seeing a lot of more fragmented, smaller events that are getting smaller audiences, but they're being very specific in the value that they're delivering and the purpose of that event. Okay. Yeah. And I think what we've also seen throughout the pandemic is with virtual events, people are taking that concept of their typical 4-day annual conference and they're expanding it. They're taking the recordings from that event. They're uploading it into an on-demand resource library that people can access year round. They're adding in community forums, that kind of stuff. So it's been really exciting for us to see the idea of an annual conference evolve over the past few years. And of course, technology plays a really key and vital role in that. So I'm excited what's to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think we saw people kind of run and chase the technology during the pandemic. But now that we're kind of arguably on the other side of it, they're trying to evaluate what parts of pre-2020 annual conference are they going back to and what learnings from their event strategy throughout the pandemic are they also wanting to hold on to. And then they're coming to what their new iteration is in 2023. So again, like you mentioned, whether it was a condensed annual conference with, you know, an on-demand or a hybrid component to it, or if it's, you know, smaller scale meetings more frequently throughout the year, different geo regions or special interest focused. It's really interesting. It's a great time to be in events. And I think it has been for the past couple of years, but now it's really interesting to see that people have accelerated their adoption of technology and how they're continuing to drive that forward in their event strategy.
Absolutely. And I know that's something that your team can help out with, is just getting an understanding of what your clients are looking to do throughout the year and then putting forth some recommendations on, hey, we've seen clients do X, Y, Z. These are the different results that they've seen. So thanks to your explanation earlier on, we know what Redstone does on the association management side of things. What are the different services you provide for event management, and when might an association, or doesn't necessarily have to be an association, but when might an organization look to you for event management services?
Yeah, so on the corporate side, we are often tapped in by internal marketing teams that either don't have capacity based on volume or the expertise on in-person, experiential, or virtual events. So they would come to us and just, you know, give us the specs of their event and tap us in so that we can do the logistics, or maybe they just need on-site support, or maybe they don't know a registration platform to, you know, that fits these few criteria. So really we do A to Z. And again, we custom tailor what we're offering based on the specific needs. So we don't have to do it all. Again, if you have in-house resources or an agency that does, you know, just your creative, we play nicely in the sandbox and we're happy to collaborate. So really we can be tapped in at any phase of the planning. We've been tapped in 2 weeks before massive events, and you know, if it works for us, we make it work. But the more, as a true planner, the more time and advance notice we have, the better. But we can make it work. So that's kind of on the corporate side. An association, again, can tap us in to help with one event, all of their events, and it can be from A to Z. So you know, we can just support, you know, reconceptualizing 2023. The past 2 years we've been virtual, but now what do we do this year? And kind of doing, you know, a cost analysis and a needs assessment, and maybe even tapping into some of the stakeholders and members. What do they want? Are they coming to your event in Halifax for 4 days, or, you know, are you better suited to do something different? So we can consult on those types of projects, and we can do A to Z planning, logistics, execution. We have a pretty large team, so, you know, we can come to wherever it is and execute all aspects on site. But those are just some examples of where we work with our clients and how we work with them.
That's great. Thanks for sharing. Well, Carly, I know it's been an incredible journey for your team over at Redstone, especially over the past year or so. You've done a really exciting agency rebrand. I love it. There's always exciting initiatives and new developments going on with your team. But what are you excited about in 2023? Any projects, any industry trends that you're looking at that you want to highlight for the audience?
I think the world is really our oyster. Like I mentioned earlier in this podcast, you know, people are hanging on to the technology. People are excited about continuing the momentum of what was learned and potentially unlearned during the pandemic. So we're excited to be part of the new iteration of events and whatever format makes the most sense for our clients and what they're trying to achieve. So I'm really excited by that from a trend and work perspective. On the Redstone side, and you're hearing it here first, we actually just incorporated in the U.S. So Redstone USA, here we come.
That's incredible. Congrats.
Thank you.
Wow. Very exciting. Are you going to be setting up offices in the U.S. or?
Yeah. Slowly but surely, we'll have a physical footprint there as well. You know, what we've been doing in world round, everyone can work from anywhere at this point. But we have a number of clients in the U.S. and some great opportunities down there. So we figured we'd make it official and set up shop. So more to come. Like I said, you're really hearing it here first. But yeah, we'll invite you and the Feedloop team down to Redstone headquarters in the U.S.
Oh, we'd love that. Well, Carly, I'm really glad that we were able to do this. I know this has been a long time coming. Just want to say thank you for taking the time to join us today. This has been a really insightful conversation. I think the audience got a lot of value out of learning more about what an association management company does, when it might be time to look to them, or when it might be time to look for event management services. So again, thank you for taking the time to join us today. Thank you for being such an incredible partner of Feedloop over the years. I'm really excited to see what's to come for Redstone. But before we sign off for today, do you have any final words, anything else you'd like to share with the audience?
Thanks again for the opportunity. This was a great conversation, as all of our conversations are. Yep. Back to my point about lessons learned, you just have to operate from a place of, you know, humanistic and people-centric. And I think that goes to your partners also. So, you know, I'm grateful for kind of coming up with Feedloop alongside. I know that Raul started a company at a similar time to us, and that we've been in constant contact and working together from, you know, as far back as I can remember. Yeah. And it's really important to choose your partners well. They support you through thick and thin. And the platform evolution on the Feedloop side has just, you know, you just spent the better part of 20 minutes kind of singing our praises and all the success on this side. But, you know, to be a tech platform and a tech solution kind of in this ecosystem, and to be able to be as successful and thrive as well as your team has done, I think there's a congratulations in order there as well. You've supported Redstone through some thick and thin times, had some late nights, early mornings, some fun times, but I think the humans behind the technology. The technology is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. We love it. But I think your team is incredible to work with and makes what we do so rewarding and fun, even amidst the 4 a.m. wake up sometimes. So thank you for your partnership. And I look forward to see what comes from your team as well.
Absolutely. Those are incredibly kind words, Carly. Thank you. And again, I really want to emphasize what you mentioned earlier on in our conversation, in that it's really all about the people. That's what matters. So again, thanks for your time. To the audience, that wraps up our Where People Meet podcast with the wonderful Carly Silverstein. Everyone, thanks for your time today, and we'll see you next time on the Where People Meet podcast.